情にあなたは笑って虹を描いた。こんな違う僕ら出会うはずもないはずもなかったさ。
Hello everybody, indeed welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. This is our third episode of the Spring 2015 anime season. I'm J-Ro, joined by Smiley this week.
Hello.
It has been a while since we've had you on Metaverse. I believe it was one of the live shows from back in January or something like that. The award show that we had for Metaverse. So it's good to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be back as well.
All right, so we have a couple news stories to talk about. We are going to do episode impressions on Rom-Com Snafu 2 Episode 3, the first two episodes of Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches, Ninja Slayer from Animation, and the first two episodes of Nisekoi : which we'll talk about that weird indicator of a sequel series. But let's talk about the news first. Only two stories. Kind of slow in the news week, not much going on. You know, there's a lot of minor things, but nothing really newsworthy. Log Horizon, the author of that series, was recently charged with tax evasion. And it's always a crazy story when you hear famous people, like, you know, there was the Wesley Snipes story many years back of what he was involved with in tax evasion. So it's kind of like, oh man, what he offers is like, what's going to happen? And he put out a release and saying that, you know, he's worked out all the details. So it ultimately seems like not anything major came out of this other than that, wow, what a crazy story.
Yeah, I was reading about that, and it's just sounded like he was accused, and he paid the money, and then it ended. So That was easy.
Yeah, so end of story there. And then our second story is about Wycross. That series was given a movie announcement. It was on April 1st when it was first teased, so April Fools, you know, people are just going to kind of go, I don't really think so. But at a event that was done on April 19th is when the official announcement of this movie came. So there will be a Wycross movie sometime in the near future.
Yes, it's always confusing when April Fool's Day rolls around and you're always wondering what's real and what's not real. I almost wish that companies, if they actually intended to have a real movie, like it seems like in this case, that they would just avoid April 1st and not deal with that problem.
It's kind of weird how April 1st has affected that. Like, you can't really put out any news because everybody, it seems like for the most part at this point on the internet, it's all intentional gag stuff where it's just like the Nisekoi Monogatari poster that they made. Like, that's not going to be a real movie. So it's one of those days where, unfortunately, the humor that people find in it kind of ruins it being a day to put out news. Did you watch any of Wycross?
Yes, I actually watched all of it.
Does it deserve a movie? Does it need a movie?
So I don't think details of what the movie is about have been released. As far as the two TV series, the two seasons goes, they were pretty good. I actually enjoyed them, even though, okay, so the story was pretty enjoyable. I did have a little bit of a qualms with the whole girls being very mean and stuff. It was just, I mean, obviously it's a thing that happens, I'm sure, in real life, but it's just the whole twisted nature of the game was like a little discomforting, but that doesn't have to detract from, you know, it being a good story. So it was a good story, and again, I'm not sure the movie will be a recap thing. That would be kind of stupid. They do that a lot, though, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It might be a continuation, a spin-off or something, in which case that will be a welcome addition to the show, because I think it does deserve something more, maybe. If it's something more, maybe not so much a sequel. I think the story was pretty well wrapped up by the end of the second season. Maybe a spin-off or something. I could see that happening. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see when they actually announce what the movie's about.
And unfortunately, your mentioning of the concept of retelling the anime series seems like the most likely scenario, because it's something anime just loves doing. It's something I'm not really a fan of, like with their re-release of Ghost in the Shell Architecture. Like, you don't really need to remake this stuff.
So the step one is actually the reverse, right? It was the movies turned into a TV series. Is that what's happening?
And it's weird how they're doing that too, because they did the fourth OVA first, and then the first OVA they're doing second. So it's, I don't really understand the ordering point there.
Oh, you see, it's being edgy and new. You have to, you know, screw linear storytelling. It's all about the non-linear storytelling nowadays. Like, everyone's doing it, so.
I guess so. Okay, let's get on to our episode impressions. We are going to start with a show that Smiley is actually blogging this season, Rom-Com Snafu 2, Yahori Ore no something, something, Machigatte Love Come, something, Ore Gairu, also the name. Before I get started, you know, talking about episode 3, we can just agree that in the term of the help that the I'm sorry, the girl that's running for student council president, that's all. Uh-huh. We don't care about any of that, right? Like the actual process of them trying to figure out what works best for her to lose but not be blamed for losing.
Okay, so yeah, you're talking about the latest development. Yeah, so it's like the show, I think I mentioned this in my latest post about the show, but it's starting to move away from the actual problem solving. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's still there because that's what their club does. But it's moving now to focus more on Hachiman's problem himself. It's a nice change. I think it needed to happen, and that's really the only way forward for the show, because at this point we've seen them solve problems over and over again. Now we need to see the characters themselves grow, and Hachiman is probably the guy who really needs to grow the most, because I mean, everyone knows he's got some serious issues with himself.
Yeah, these past two episodes have really shown what his character truly is, and how these experiences in the past have helped him sort of build these walls around him that kind of he just can't get himself out of, and that he won't let other people into, and just how messed up he became based off of the middle school rejection and his disinterest in superficial relationships or a certain kind of girl. And in episode 2, and you especially see in episode 3, is how the decisions that he makes and his thoughts are affecting how Yukinon and Yui are thinking about him. And it was really fascinating in that first scene when before the issue even comes up, is how Yukinon just really wanted to go off, and you could tell that Yui was just sensing like, oh my goodness, this isn't very good, and she kind of interjected, and then the teacher came in and things kind of, unfortunately, kind of simmered down, because things could have really wrecked bad there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like, I mean, the Hachiman's way of solving problems so far that we've seen is just to kind of avoid them. Mm-hmm. So he always just kind of he takes the issue, then he kind of just changes the direction just suddenly, abruptly, and then people forget about what was going on before, and so he kind of this actually happens later on. So you're talking about I think episode 3 when the teacher, I actually forget her name now, but when the teacher walks in and interrupts, and then everything just kind of, you know, simmers down a little bit, and then later on in the episode they're still still talking to Iroha, the girl that's run for president. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Yui, you know, tells Hachiman, hey, we're going to talk to her. We don't want to do this behind your back, and then you'll get pissed off as well. So he comes in and he has a little chat, and then it's like pretty soon the situation gets really tense again. And then he just kind of avoids that tension and just leaves the room. Mm-hmm. So, I actually don't know if things would have blown up, because that's the way he kind of deals with issues. He just kind of avoids them, and in this case he just avoids them by just leaving completely, and when he's been helping people, he avoids them by making himself the problem, which I mean I guess is is the issue that we're dealing with now. But it's really interesting to see him do this over and over again. I'm actually, I mean, so in my post, I kind of wrote that he's being kind of stubborn. Mm-hmm. And I understand he's got, you know, pretty shitty life so far. Okay. He's been kind of an outcast since he was younger, and then the girls make fun of him and he doesn't fit in and stuff like that. But it's just, you know, he's got to stop hurting himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to know to a certain extent that what he's doing is really bad mm-hmm. for himself and also the people around him.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest issue is that he doesn't seem to realize that people around him are his friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he thinks that they're part of the club, and then he's probably recognizes to a certain extent that you know, they maybe have some feelings for him, but he's mm-hmm. probably just like, oh, but they're not really my friends. We're just kind of colleagues in this club for now, and then they don't really care about me, so it's okay for me to hurt myself.
He's his own worst enemy.
Yes.
That, you know, we see these experiences and we can get a sense of, oh, these are the things that shaped Hachiman to be the guy that we know him to be, but you see in his approach with Tobachi and Ibina, that situation with Yuriha and the class president, is that he's incredibly cold in his assessment. And you talk about, you know, that he just wants to simply avoid it. Is that he just can't see what he's doing. He thinks he's doing the right thing, and in a weird way kind of thinks maybe he's helping them, but doesn't realize that he's hurting himself, and that Yukinon and Yui don't like that part of it, but that also that he's not in the end, he's not really helping anyone.
He is in the end helping I guess the customer, the club, I guess the client. He is helping them mm-hmm. to a certain extent when he's solving the problems. It's just he's going about it in a very unorthodox way. But actually, I think he might be starting to realize that what he's doing is kind of hurtful, because it's just the few times when he was in the club, you know, after they've taken the request from Hiroha, and he's, you know, having the arguments with Yukino. Actually, several times she questions him and says that you really don't plan on changing, do you? Mm-hmm. And he very stubbornly says, nope, I'm not going to change. Like when you are like that, I feel like when you're stubborn like that, you do know that you are being stubborn and you realize what the problem is, but you just, for some, you know, who knows why reason, just mm-hmm. don't want to give in, don't want to change your ways. I really can't justify why he refuses to change his ways right now. I'm sure he realizes what he's doing is bad, mm-hmm. but I just think that he's still young. He's still mm-hmm. high school. He's probably just doesn't know the best and is just being a kid. Doesn't want to change. You know, someone's telling him how to live his life, and mm-hmm. he seems to be comfortable with his life right now, even though he really, we think he shouldn't be, and I think most regular people would think that he shouldn't be enjoying the way his life is right now. But he seems to think it's okay, and so he's just, you know, stubbornly refusing to change.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take a Herculean effort to break the level of cynicism mm-hmm. that Hachiman has reached. And that's a scene that, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to see in anime form. You hope so, but that is going to be a fascinating moment. And he's not my favorite character this season, but he's the most fascinating one to watch and kind of look at and think about because of, as I mentioned before, past experiences and the way that he carries himself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on to our next show. We have a bit of a rom-com trend here. Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches. Smiley?
Yes, so I actually read the manga before watching the show. I think the manga just hasn't been updated very much recently, but I'm still following it. And going into the show, so before the season started, you know, you have all the promo art and all the information rolling out. And the one thing I noticed is that, first of all, they kind of spoil who the witches are, which is a very interesting move, because part of the charm of reading the manga was that you didn't know who the witches were. And then gradually you kind of found out, oh, it's this girl, because part of the point of the show was he had to, quote unquote, hunt down the witches, because he's trying to find out, you know, the reason for all this weird supernatural happening to the school. And then, you know, the show just goes ahead, you know, the promo arts, the seven witches are wearing their witch hats. It's like, oh, well, it's them. Yeah, I mean, I already knew it, because I've read the manga, so I already know who they were. And then you watch the opening for the show, and it's like, oh, it's the girls wearing the hats. That's awkward. So that's a very interesting thing they've done. It makes me feel like the show is kind of like a fan service thing aimed at the manga readers who already know what's going on. And the other thing is the fact that they've already revealed all seven witches, which is very strange because as far as the manga goes, I did not expect them to be able to fit seven witches, all seven of them, into 12. I think it's 12 episodes, right?
Yes.
To 12 episodes. That's not a lot of time. And from the first two episodes that have aired already, it's like they really do zoom through the material. I don't know if I'm just getting used to the slower pace of other shows. I mean, certain shows try to pace it down a little bit. But it's like when I'm watching Yamada-kun, everything just keeps moving. It keeps moving. There's never like a moment where it pauses and then there's like a little breather. It's just like, you know, first episode, oh, here's this girl and she can switch body. Well, she switches bodies with the main guy. And then, you know, we move on with that. And then second episode, oh, here's a new girl. And then she's interested in joining the club. And then they start doing all this body switching shenanigans. And it just never stops, which I guess is a good thing. I'm not really complaining. It's just a little different from, I just feel like the pacing is very different from most other shows, which, you know, is a welcome change.
I have limited experience of reading manga. I've read maybe 10 or so chapters of it. So my memory wasn't as vivid when I first started watching the anime. And it's a very fun watch of a show because you think of the idea of body swapping. And they do the things that you would expect them to do as young high school students, you know, young adolescents. And, you know, that's very funny. The way that they do that is very funny, is good too, which is nice because, you know, there's ways that you could be very crass about it. There's ways that you could come off as very cliche about stuff like that. But there's something about the method of Yamada-kun that makes it very funny to watch.
Yeah, it's that's actually what I was going to talk about, was the body swapping. I remember now. It's actually almost straightforward. I mean, as you were saying, it's like Yamada switches bodies with a girl, and then the first thing he does is like, oh, look, I got to look at her parts because that's what I'm interested in. I mean, I can't really blame him. He's a high schooler, and you know, it's fascinating for him. But I guess the big thing that I wanted to mention about the whole body swapping was that it's really the it's one thing in the manga, because you read the manga and then it's like, oh, they've swapped bodies. But I was really, really looking forward to the voice acting in this show, because you're going to have the male and female voice actors kind of trading off but on the same character. And I was a little interested in seeing how well they'd be able to preserve the character's personality between different voice actors. And I have to say that so far, I actually think that they're doing a very good job. You know, whenever Yamada switches with Shiraishi's body, it's like, it's what's your voice? Hayama Sari.
Yes.
Right? And she's mostly the kind of soft-spoken girl. I think she usually plays that kind of character in most shows, at least to my knowledge. And then she suddenly just switches gears and starts becoming this crass high school boy, you know, really rough, delinquent type, and then it works. It's almost impressive. I mean, I guess they are professionals. I should expect that much.
Yeah,
but it's really impressive when they do that, and it really works out well.
Yeah, I specifically liked when Yamada and Ito switched bodies, and Yamada's running around in Ito's body, talking about the whole rumors thing, and beating up those guys that sold her the spoon and photos and stuff. So I thought, so that is very good on that front. And that's something that I think many manga readers were curious and kind of maybe a bit hesitant about, but you as a manga reader like it, and I would imagine many do, so that's good to know.
Alright.
Let's break away from the rom-com formula for a little bit and talk about Ninja Slayer from Animation. Trigger's new show. We've been familiar with this series, them working on this series for a while. What we expected is probably not a very similar show to Inferno Cop. I do not have experience of watching Inferno Cop before. I know there's a lot of people that do enjoy it and that it's kind of a crazy show, kind of off the walls, ridiculous animation style and humor. And so you see a show presented in for free, you think, oh, that stuff in Kill la Kill where they did the flashbacks, they actually liked that, so they're going to do a whole show in for free. And the animation, and I'm not even talking about the subject matter of the show, the animation jumps around a lot, where it looks like a flash anime, where there was one scene they showed the cops beating the crap out of this dude, and I thought, oh my god, I could do this. Like, that, it looks that easy. But then you see they jump to these crazy Sakuga-type animation moments with Ninja Slayer and just beating up dudes. And they were on Funimation's subs that I watched, they were constantly translating the YART! completely ridiculous. And as for the subject matter of the series, a ninja who slays ninjas is really crazy, and they do some really fun things with that, like guys looking at a reflection of himself in a mirror. I'm a ninja slayer. Breaks the window and then takes some sushi and eats that because that's what ninjas do. So it is just an absolutely bizarre show with a crazy opening by a pretty good band, Boom Boom Satellites. Lyrics, I don't even know what they apply to the show other than to some nonsense English, but really crazy and really funny. But because of the type of show that it is, it can definitely divide people.
Yes. It sounds like you actually did enjoy it to a certain extent.
Yeah. I watched it with a group, which I always think helps. Watching, you know, some shows.
Yes. See, my experience was, I think I had maybe a couple episodes of experience of Infernal Cop. So I didn't quite enjoy that either. It was a show that was just seemed random, pointless. So then along comes Ninja Slayer, and I sit down and I watch the first episode, and it seems random and pointless. I can understand how the whole craziness of the show can appeal to some people, but it just doesn't seem worth my time right now. It's like I've got 34-ish shows on my list. I think not all of them are from this season, and Ninja Slayer does not have to be one of them.
All right. I do think the 12 episode, not 12 episode, because we're going to do 26 episodes, but the half episode length format is ideal considering the type of show that they're doing and how kind of random and crazy and jokey it is, because I don't think you could fit that into 2 to 5 minutes. It would just seem ridiculous and absurd without any actual humor. So I think 12 minutes is a nice length for that. And our fourth and final show for discussion, let's get back to rom-com. Talking about Nisekoi : episodes 1 and 2:
Right. So I actually covered, I'm sure some readers remember, I covered this first season of Nisekoi whenever it aired, and I have to say I'm already getting burned out by that show, because I did try reading some of the manga along with the anime, and it's what you expect. It doesn't go anywhere, so it never ends. And then if I wanted a never-ending show, I would watch a shonen. I already have enough of those. So coming into this season, you know, I pick up Nisekoi : Nisekoi Season 2, whatever you want to call it, just, you know, out of curiosity, see how it's doing. And, you know, It's it might be doing a little better now. I'm not too sure. It's definitely more or less the same. They've moved to actually it was like this last season too, but it feels like it's definitely more of a one girl at a time focus now, because I think last season they would have certain arcs for each girl, like a couple episodes, whereas this season so far, I guess I can't really talk too much about it because it's only been two episodes, but so far it's been the girl of the episode, which I mean, it's okay because we've already met these girls, and it's almost like, you know, fan service for the people who like that certain girl. So it's like episode one, if you like Chitoke, of course Team Chitoke is the best team because she's the best girl around, but that's, you know, you watch that episode and it's Chitoke and you love it. Then episode two was about Tsugumi, and if you love her, then you love that episode as well. I mean, they introduce a new character, but she was just kind of like there to motivate the episode. Otherwise, they'd have no excuse for that episode, almost. So I actually expect more of the same. I believe it's also 12 episodes?
12 episodes, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, in that time span, I don't see them doing anything groundbreaking. I don't see them finding out which girl is the promised girl.
No, definitely not. There's one story that at least we know in terms of casting that has a little bit more to it, because they casted Chitoge's mom, Megumi Toyoguchi, is going to voice her character, and that's one of the best moments of the Nisekoi manga, because it really feels like, in the way that the play is at the end of season one, that moment with Chitoge's mom feels very significant to the characters. And they show Haru Onodera, Kosaki's younger sister, they're going to the expectation with how central of a focus she is in the opening for the anime, that we'll see some of her story, and they kind of give away a little bits and pieces of that in the opening. So, but in the general, the thing about the girl of the week thing, I think that is going to be the case for a little while. And it's the thing that kind of frustrates me about reading the manga, is that there were a lot of chapters like that where they felt very fillery, because ultimately there's nothing gained from that. It's just another moment where somebody came close to admitting that they liked Raku and nothing ultimately came of it, like in this episode, the idea of stealing a kiss, when all she did was just touched his lips and put her fingers on her lips.
Well, was a genuine indirect kiss, I can tell you that.
I mean, it's definitely not a show that's blog wordy. I don't mean to get meta here. I know it sounds ridiculous getting meta on Metaverse, but on metanorn.net, but the type of show that it is, it's just not worth diving deep into weekly. It's like, if you enjoy the characters and the crazy antics that they have, you can live with the fact that progress will never be five steps forward, and always 0.1 steps forward, then you'll be entertained. And I'm still watching it, and you know, that's enough for me. That it's just fun.
Yeah, it's definitely watchable. It's just nothing to talk about, really.
Right. So I don't expect it to come back here on Metaverse, unless maybe until the Chitoge's mom stuff comes. I could see it popping up back then here. All right, so our discussion this week is about rom-com series, because we have the series that we talked about. They're very unique from each other. And rom-com snafu, we were talking pre-air, that it doesn't really classify as a rom-com, even though rom-com is in the English translation.
Well, yes, it's a little misleading.
Yeah, because of the namesake, and it, you know, especially with how heavy things have been in season two, that it's not really calm, and kind of not rom in a way, kind of more dramatic in the sense of sort of like screwed up characters.
Right. Yeah, I actually thought that. So from the premiere of rom-com Snafu Origayo 2, I actually thought that it might start focusing more on the romance, which would also be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, you know, it started focusing, it seemed like it was moving the focus from Yui towards Yukino and her relationship with Hachiman. But then, you know, it still technically is about her relationship with him. Except they've taken a bit of a swerve, and it's now that they're kind of in a bad relationship instead of a good one. And it's now up to Yui to help. I think it's up to her to mm-hmm. help defuse the situation. So it's in that respect, it's like, where's the romance and where's the comedy? The romance is sort of there. I mean, in a way, you can say it's you can contrive it to be a situation in which it's this one guy and these two girls that are sort of maybe interested in him. Mm-hmm. I know Yui's definitely interested in him. I mean, that's been the main point of the first half of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yukino maybe has some sort of attraction to him, but just the way that she is and the way that he is, both of them are really antisocial. They really don't like to talk to people and stuff. It's really hard to say that there's a real romance growing between them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move to the other half of rom-com, comedy. It's like, well, the first season maybe had some comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It's every time the trap shows up. And,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the trap and that one guy with the delusions. Whenever they show up, it's sort of maybe some comedy. It's like the cold open of, was it episode 2, when they're still on the field trip, and then mm-hmm. he's sleeping close by
each other.
Yeah, and then that the Chunie guy is just all like, oh, moaning your name in my sleep. It's just like, ha, that was a slightly humorous moment, but that's so far removed from what the show actually is. It's mm-hmm. kind of like a tacked on thing. I appreciate it. It helps the show from feeling just so depressing. But it's just, I wouldn't call Snafu a rom-com show, even though it's in the title.
It's funny you mention, what's the boy's name? It's not...
It's Saika, I think.
Saika, okay.
At the trap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm getting that name confused with Hachiman's sister's name.
Her name is Komachi.
Okay, Komachi. All right. So I was just thinking about that with Saika. In the idea that if I played this as a visual novel, I would give Hachiman the gay ending route as Saika, because I think that's the only... You mentioned a great point about how Yui is going to have to be the one to really break through, because Yukinon and Hachiman are so similar that I just don't think her methods would be able to get through to him.
She even admits this. She tells him several times that she doesn't know how to explain to him why she's not happy with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but in a weird sense, like, Saika would be the most happy end for him.
Especially because it appears that Hachiman is somewhat sexually attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, on the train, in the bed, it's always like, but he's a guy. You know, maybe it's okay, Hachiman. Maybe it's okay since you seem to love him the most.
Yeah. And then jumping on with Yamada-kun, which kind of uses the body swapping, feels, you know, we haven't quite hit the romantic point yet, although the, you know, kissing is obviously considered a romantic thing, but the way that they're doing it is that they're just testing it as, like, you know, the body switching, and then you see by the end of episode 2 that the fun that they have out of that, well, Shiraishi is just totally okay with being in Yamada's body.
Yes, she plays a character that's a little hard to read, because she's kind of, she's not emotionless, but she doesn't show emotions a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's kind of spoilery to say this, but let's just say that, you know, it's almost like the whole kissing to body swap thing kind of spring starts a relationship. It's just like it almost forces the relationship. It's kind mm-hmm. of interesting. It's hard to say if she would have expressed any real interest in him anyway, if they had met in any other different way. But that's the story we have. They met through an accidental staircase falling kissing thing.
And because they're forever linked by that. Mm-hmm. that kind of buds something that maybe wouldn't have ever been there. Assume you're talking about.
Yeah, they sort of have a mutual attraction as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, it's a rom-com set in the high school, and it's you can't go too far. So of course you have all the other witches, and mm-hmm. and that's maybe a potential harem thing. But I'd say Yamada-kun actually, at least in manga form, plays it pretty safe with avoiding the whole, you know, diving straight into generic harem aspect. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty good about that so far.
Hugh Daven kind of spoiled that in the opening with Shiraishi and Yamada, because that final scene in the opening, mm-hmm. what other way can you read into that other than that it's intended to be romantic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like definitely the opening is really spoilery, and again, it just comes back to me thinking that this show might just be fan service for the manga readers, which I am, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And then we have Nisei Koi, which is there's no real twist to it. It's just kind of, you know, we're having fun with some comedic antics. It's kind of the most standard in that sense of rom-com. But although the formula is that there is no progression, there will never be progression. You will think there is progression, but there actually is not progression.
And then they're going to keep adding more girls because that's what we need.
And everybody will have keys, and all of a sudden, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like, what was the latest excuse about the key thing now? It's that the lock is now broken?
Yeah, it's like it's not completely fixed.
And then what's her face? Marika, right? She actually takes out the tools and threatens to break it open.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wish she would have done that, but, you know, that would have been progress. So.
Yeah, Chitoge had to step in with her sort of fear that, oh, it's not my key, that can we not open it yet?
This whole preserving the status quo thing is dare I say it, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, putting it out there.
Because I'm kind of curious, like, how much time has passed in the manga ever since this whole, how many semesters have passed ever since this started? Because don't you think the girls would go, oh, for God's sake, just open a damn key and get it over with. I don't even care anymore. I'd love to see a girl just reach that the Hachiman level of cynicism about that.
Mm-hmm. But fortunately, they never will, right? Because they're always forever heads over heels over him.
And it's a shonen manga, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, like Kaoshi or something. He needs to keep making chapters.
Komi Naoshi,
right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And then another one that we have from this season, which definitely feels more traditional, is Ore Monogatari, My Love Story. They kind of started off as a story about the red ogre and the blue ogre. But what I really like about that rom-com series is that you see in these two episodes is that Yamato is very actively seeking Takeo, whereas mm-hmm. Takeo is very... He's in this state where he's kind of like, you know, I'm going to cheer for you because he thinks she actually likes Tsunekawa. But every instance that we've seen in the series, she likes Takeo. He even said, you know, give her email. And she's like, why? Like, she doesn't even, she could barely even care about him.
She even says, was it the latest episode where she's like, the next time we hang out, can it just be us alone?
Mm-hmm. It's like, and then, catch on, Takeo.
Yeah, and then he interpreted it as, oh, she's ready to consult me for advice on my friend. Oh, no, it's just, come on, you give yourself mm-hmm. some more credit. I can't believe this. It's almost a little frustrating how I wouldn't say dense, but how, I wouldn't say stupid either, how self-denigrating he is, that he mm-hmm. can't believe a girl might be interested in him. It's always about his friend, Suna. I guess it's frustrating, but hopefully it gets better in time, because mm-hmm. if... As great as a show it is, I really enjoy that show right now. But if it keeps that up for, I think it's also 12 episodes, right? Mm-hmm. If it keeps that up for 12 episodes, I don't know if I could survive.
It's actually going to be 24.
24. Okay, that's even worse. If it keeps it up for 24 episodes, I don't know if I could survive. Just like, get smart already. Come on. She clearly likes you.
I'll say this, and this is going to be spoilers. Mm. So be careful, any listeners out there. there was a Nisekoi crossover chapter that came out a while ago, and Yamato and Takeo were dating in that chapter. So
was that
canon, makes me
though?
Think that at some point in the series, they will be dating.
That's interesting. I don't know if a crossover spinoff thing is usually considered canon. But, I mean, could well be. I actually haven't read that crossover. I'm actually a little curious now. I might want to go out there and find it. Mm-hmm. But, well, yeah, I guess only time will tell if Takeo will stop being mm-hmm. so ignorant.
Yeah. But that's the thing that I, you know, where as Nisekoi, it feels very frustrating because you see in that first episode, Chitoge is all about, you know, I want him to notice me, whereas high school boys aren't really going to notice all these little minor changes that you're making that you think are really big, like expensive shampoo, lipstick, whereas...
He did notice them, though. It's the things that he doesn't necessarily think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was all like, yeah, I noticed that. What's the big deal?
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess...
I don't even...
I guess this is how... some of the naive thinking goes
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, doesn't the whole thing start as a test of his, not faithfulness, but a test of his, attention to her.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not a very good test.
No, but the original point that I was going to make is that Yamato in two episodes has shown much more effort than those girls have in 22 episodes.
Right. Yeah. Things. She's definitely way more forward with her feelings than the other girls. And the reason why is because there aren't five or six or seven other girls waiting in line to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. The circumstances are very different indeed. All right. And let's close off our discussion there. And thus, episode 56 of the Metaverse Podcast. Smiley, thank you for joining me.
It's been a pleasure.
What are you going to be blogging this season for Metanorn?
Well, it's a bit of a weird situation because we're just transitioning into the new season. Like, we're also getting some new writers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if what the writers are going to cover has been nailed down just yet. I think I'm going to be covering rom-coms Snafu. Whether or not I'm told to, I think I'm going to anyway because this that's kind of the show that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And that might actually be the only show I'm going to write about. I've been a little short in time recently. I might consider writing more about Yamada-kun, considering I've read the manga. So that would be kind of a good fit for me. However, I don't know. It's like I don't have much time. I mean, there are several shows airing that I've seen that I've actually blogged the prequels, or not the prequels, but the first halves for. Like, you know, there's Nisekoi, and then there's also Sidonia. However, it's just a time commitment thing. I think I might actually just be writing about rom-com Snafu.
Mm-hmm. And the first episode of Sidonia only just came out recently.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's been a little hard to find subs for that show. I'll definitely watch it. I just don't know if I'll be covering it as well.
Okie doke, very well. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Hope you liked the episode. For Smiley, I'm Jero. We will see you next time on Metaverse.
Peace. Safe no shita himitsu no manai.